good evening, good evening. Good to see everyone back. I heard that y'all normally don't meet on Sunday nights, but Chris told me y'all want to get your money's worth, so here we are, Sunday night, getting the good gospel together. Appreciate that. We had a great turnout this morning and a great turnout tonight. We actually knew a sweet family back here, the Peters family from Yoakum, Texas. We've been preaching out there for almost 4 years, just filling in once a month or once a quarter. As they continue to search for a full-time minister, but really cool to see familiar faces. Some people always say small family or small world, we say large family, right? So many connections through the brotherhood and the blood of Jesus, and I love that. I met most of y'all this morning, but again, my name is Matthew Perez. We're here to serve and worship together Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and this group's also doing a VBS. Y'all know how to pack it in. So I know you normally don't meet on Sunday nights, so maybe we'll make this one a little quicker than normal because we got a full week ahead of us, which is not bad. I want to start off saying the cost to discipleship, right? We talked about the enemy and how he works toward disciples, and then we did a really good deep dive Bible study in Luke chapter 5 with this magnificent portrait of what it means to be a disciple and how to kind of live and carry that out. Tonight, we're going to continue that theme, of course, the cost of discipleship or the call to discipleship. And I want to start off saying, anyone here ever done a DIY do-it-yourself project? Raise your hand. You ever done one of those before? Certainly, right? Those DIY projects are in, and people are looking for all kinds of ways just to do the work themselves, right? I mean, there are TV shows about this. There are magazines about this. Sections in Walmart, online sections of Home Depot, all geared towards doing the work or doing it yourself. These projects are in. Here's a few right here I kind of found. Pretty interesting. Here's a do-it-yourself bird seed wreath, right? It's cute, it can go all season, you can make them in your house. If you love the birds, there's a kind of cool idea right there for you. Let's keep going here. How about this one? You kind of get these mugs, you write Sharpie, you kind of bake them in your easy bake oven. Before you know it, you got some lovely mugs for you and your spouse or someone to get to you. Here's another one right here. These are kind of cool, right? Anyone like coffee or the aroma, a good coffee smell? Well, here you kind of have your teacup candles. You got coffee beans around that. And all of a sudden you have this nice espresso aromatic smell just running through your deck or running through your house. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Now maybe you're into desserts. These are one of my favorites, right? Like your own cookie monster cupcakes. We haven't tried this just yet, but I feel like if we did, it'd be more something like this. Nailed it. This is it. Whether it's a kitchen or a garage or a bathroom project, recently our water tank busted in our garage. Now I've been kind of cranking out the demo work, sheetrock, doing it myself, but all this is in. And for you, maybe a few of these are already under construction in your household. I think kind of within the middle of summertime, perhaps we're doing some of these projects ourselves already. Remember, you're thinking, okay, there's some bathroom, garage, whatever remodeling, but I'm looking to get deeper with that when it comes to the Word of God. One area that people frequently ask about is, how do I start my own meaningful, deep Bible study at any point of the year? Because I find that many Christians, they want to start, right? They want to start their own meaningful Bible study, but they're at a loss on how to get that going. So right now, you think, okay, do-it-yourself Bible study. I wonder what the points will be. Maybe you're thinking, okay, one of them has to be just do it. Maybe he gives his 4, 3, 5 points, and the last one's going to be just do it. Actually, you want to start out with that one, right? Because this stuff is just too important. We understand that. It's one thing to build your own deck or put together a bird wreath, or actually attempt making a cookie monster cupcake. And by the way, if you do that this week, invite us over. But God is clear on the material things of this world. He tells us the uncertainty of them. He tells us about their ultimate end. So tonight, let's focus on something we can build that cannot be taken away from us, and that can help us really understand and serve God to the highest degree. Now, this is where we get into our hub text this morning, or tonight. It's going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and read with me verses 14 through 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and here we are. Paul writes to his young student, he says, "But you must continue the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture," I love that, "all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Verse 17 right here, "that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Are you in for that? I'm in for that. So again, tonight, I would like to equip all of us, equip Christians with some tools to start or to help to continually build your do-it-yourself Bible study. The first point we have tonight is select a Bible. Pretty simple, right? Grab it. Select a Bible, and then you hold on to that thing. Find a Bible, though, that you feel comfortable with. Because the first step is simple. You select a Bible, and you grab it. Pick a Bible. Or better yet, pick a translation that you are comfortable with. Because there are all sorts of translations available in all different types of Bibles to help achieve different goals in your personal Bible study. But read it. Read whatever translation fits the occasion. There are study Bibles. There are reader Bibles. There's topical Bibles. There's chronological scriptures. There's devotional. There's Bibles with pictures. My favorites. But decide what your purpose is in reading. Then you can read the translation that most suits those needs. And as we kind of pick this translation that we are comfortable with, we need to be careful at the same time. This may not be anything new to you, but the right translation can help you immensely in your Bible study. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 writes, "And from your childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Here's a pretty cool chart right here. This is online. If you want it, I have it on my phone. I can email it to you, send you a text, whatever. But here's a real good just diagram of the strengths of translations. You're going to see right here, they're just more paraphrasing, right? They pretty much take the scripture and kind of put it into their own words. Sometimes we call that preaching. But they're doing it in Bible form, right? Then you kind of got the Christian Standard Bible, and then sometimes you kind of float towards there, right? So for me personally, I use the New King James. What I'm preaching from tonight, I use the ESV, but for my kind of deep Bible study, I'm using the NASB 95. But this kind of shows you the strength of the translation. So on this very left side, it's word for word. So they take the original Greek. They teach the original Aramaic. They take the original Hebrew. They say, okay, here's the sentence structure, the syntax. Here's the original words. What's the best word that we can put into English without really losing structure? Because of that, sometimes it's a little wooden or harder to read through, but they're actually word-for-word translations. And so maybe for you, The right translation for you is where accuracy meets your level of readability. I want to say that again. Maybe for where you are this evening, the right translation is where accuracy meets your level of readability. For example, if you're looking for readability and looking to get reacquainted with the Bible stories, I'd recommend the NIV or NLT. I know. Hold your gas for just a second. I know for years these translations were under a lot of scrutiny because some of the casual language it uses. However, giving it another read-through or examination, I was surprised by how some of these updated translations recently took a stronger stance on biblical words. At the same time, if you want a stronger translation while still having the ease of the reading, the ESV, New King James, or the NET are great choices for you. Once again, if you really want to get into the word-for-word translation, the original words, the original text, translations like the New American Standard would be a great fit. Either way, I know maybe all of this is kind of confusing, but a good, reliable translation can really help you as a student to rightly divide the word of truth. Again, I have access to this chart, so if you want it, I can send it your way. But the best of all the words in deep Bible study is using and examining multiple translations. Maybe you're like, well, I've been King James Version since I was itty-bitty. Getting multiple translations in your study can see again how different words may be used in different contexts. That's the best way to do that. So again, don't feel you can only read one. That you must stick to that one translation. For example, here's three different translations of how they wrote this. The New American Standard says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. The ESV says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. And the King James Version says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Either way, getting a good mix of strong translations can help you get a better sense of what the author is trying to convey to the reader, which is us. So the reality is, great insight can come from examining a variety of strong translations. Either way, get a Bible and read it. All right. To our second point. Spark an interest. Start with a book or a topic that you like. If you are struggling just to get into your Bible, don't make it harder for yourself by picking up a book that you aren't ready for. To get a great start in the right direction, choose a book or topic that you can dig your teeth into. Admit it. I know you've always wanted to personal study the book of Job, right? I mean, it's about a story getting swallowed by a big fish. Amelia knows the big fish when she's sleeping. Once again, that's freaking she's sleeping. I love it. About a guy getting swallowed by a big fish. He ends up being vomited onto dry land, preaches for a few days, and then he gets mad at a plant. There's nothing like about the book of Job, right? Or perhaps for you, it's one of those historical pieces. Or some of the poetic literature that really helps you appreciate God and His majesty. Or a major prophet. Or just the stories of Jesus. Either way, choose something that you enjoy to read. A while ago, we were studying, yes, the book of Revelation. We're studying that on Wednesday nights. And we were looking to kind of unravel some of the symbolism and figures and kind of mine the true message in John's writings. and it was awesome. Start there. Start somewhere and study it cover to cover. You get the context. You become enamored with the time period or the state of the Romans at the time or John's character and how he's changed by the time he gets to Revelation. His heart softens. You can see it and you can read it. Get to the point where Revelation is all you talk about. At the dinner table, at lunch, in an Uber ride, on the subway. Subway's around here? The restaurant. The person next to you at a football game. Everywhere. Master it, and then you move on to the next book. But find something that interests you, either a book or a topic, and you just begin there. If it's a topic, or maybe a word that you see used repeatedly, don't be afraid to do some research and use additional resources. There's one great resource my wife and I use. It's called blueletterbible.org. This website not only has access to a variety of translations, but it'll also give you information about the original languages, how they're used, its definitions, and where you can find the same word elsewhere in the New or Old Testaments. It's a great tool. Sometimes we're like, you know what? Here it is. I'm going to read the entire Bible in a year. Whether that started in June and I got 6 months to cram it in, or sort of all the way back in January, you said, that's my goal for 2026 or 2027. And then you get 4 books deep into the Old Testament, and all of a sudden, you never get around to it. Again, the whole idea is start somewhere where you know you can finish and the goal is attainable. This is key. You choose a translation, you choose something that you want to study, but you have to set time aside for that, right? You got to set a schedule. For most of us, the things that we have put off doing will continue to be put off unless we actively move to change it. And Bible study is no exception. Carve out a block of time in your day to study God's Word exclusively, which means no surfing on social media, that includes Facebook, no chess, or even trying to eat at the same time. You just commit yourself, you grab a Bible, or the phone works fine too, but just eliminate the distractions. Open it up and dive in at the same time every day, every single day, at a certain time, if you wish. Although any time of the day works, I think starting your day off by learning from God's Word seems like a little special time for yourself. But either way, you gotta set time aside and be intentional about that, right? All right, here's the next one. Start writing. Maybe some of y'all went to trade school, or you were in high school, or even in college. Did you ever notice somebody's college textbook? Or what did it look like? I mean, I guess it all kind of depends on whether they're an A or C student, right? But someone who studies from the textbook has probably made notes, or they underlined, or they highlighted certain terms or vocabulary words. They marked all the important things that stood out to them or something their professor said. I was loosely, and I really mean loosely, raised kind of Catholic. For us, the Bible, we kind of treat it more as like this holy artifact or kind of this centerpiece of a room on our coffee table, more than a textbook. But the Bible is given for our instruction, amen? For our learning. And so there are many different ways to personalize your Bible. So don't be afraid to take it, to mark in it, get some notes, highlight, or even get the sermon going next week. I think my wife, she has several in Matthew and Mark, kind of the Gospels, where a gospel meeting happened, and she would just take notes right beside that text every single time to quickly allocate it when she needed to. But that's it. Make it your own and treat it that way. There was a class I took, well, actually, one of my mentors at the Down Road Church in Beaumont, Texas. And they simply called it a Bible marking class. And I kind of, when I dug into this a little more and started marking up my Bible, I quickly saw how immensely beneficial this was. Here's one chapter. For example, this is 1 John chapter 4, the verses are 7 through 21, and picking up the first three verses of chapter 5. And you can open the 1 John if you want to as well, too. But here's the text, right? I'm not going to read it all. You're like, okay, that's just words. I kind of know some of the verses. I've been there before, right? Now look at what happens when you kind of highlight some keywords. Do you notice anything there? Is there one where this pops out? Say yes, Matt. Yes. All right, what is it?
Love.
Love, right? This is, again, 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through chapter 5, verse 3. 17 plus times the word love here is mentioned, right? So if you do your Bible marking, and all of a sudden you turn to 1 John chapter 4, you already have an idea of what this chapter is about, because you've already done the work. So right away your mind goes to, I don't know the full context, but I guarantee it's a lot to do with love, right? Of course. And again, since I mentioned Revelation earlier, here's something really cool from chapter 5, right? Maybe just put some, what's your one's eyes are. My eyes are right here, so they're not bad. But just a quick glance, see if anything comes to mind just real quick. A word that just pops out. Again, this is Revelation chapter 4. Give you all a few moments there. And survey says, anything? I know, it's a lot of text. A lot of words, too. Well, I've already done the work for it. Check it out. You understand right away by just marking. Sometimes I'll just find a word like belief in the Gospel of John, and I'll just begin to mark it before I even read it. And then once all the marking's done, then I read it, and automatically I know the throne's going to be important in chapter 4. That's it. Maybe it's grace, the word grace, or the word prayer in the book of Luke. Or again, the word believe, or the I am statements, or the word sign in the Gospel of John. Or even the words baptism, or again, prayer, or church in the book of Acts. Or the word joy in Philippians, or the words faith and works in the book of James. Either way, just making this your textbook adds value for your personal study. To be honest, taking those notes and doing the Bible marking is a great way to get deeper in your personal Bible study. Now, there are different systems for different people, but essentially the goal is, I'm going to mark this word, and maybe I'll put a certain color like yellow for Revelation. Every time I see a yellow box, it's probably going to be thrown, and I see how all that works through the scripture. Before you know it, you're going to start picking up key words and themes that the author's trying to get his point across in all these letters and books. But mark it up. Take the notes right in the margins. About 10 years ago, there became this really trendy type of Bible called the journaling Bible, right? So it pretty much has all your texts, kind of like right here, right? It has all your texts, but they would create huge margins right here with lines. So when you're reading your devotion, or if you're in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it gives you this huge space right here just to write in your notes from your personal study, from a lesson, Bible class, or a sermon. And it took off pretty well. I think they're pretty much still out there every place where Bibles are sold, right? And I heard of it, but it came from the idea of Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verses 18, 19, and 20. It says, "And when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself in a book a copy of this law, approved by the Levitical priest, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it in all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by keeping all the words of this law and these statutes and doing them." Verse 20, "And his heart may not be lifted above his brothers, that he may not turn aside from the commandment, either to the right hand or to the left, so that he may continue long in his kingdom, he and his children in Israel." But it all starts with saying he would write the law for himself. So in other words, participate in your study. And now this leads me to our final points. Self-reflection. I know myself included. There's been plenty of time, just as a minister, a part-time minister, where I read just for the sake of reading. But what happens when you close the good book? Do you remember anything? Will I remember anything? We've done plenty of Bible studies. We'll talk about this more on Wednesday nights, about evangelism. But in these classes where you are studying with people from the community, I just remind them, the reason why we study this, I say, we turn Bible study into Bible living. That's exactly it, right? We turn Bible study into Bible living. And so I believe any good study begins with a good prayer, asking God's help to understand what is being looked at. But we can never forget our own involvement in it as well. Here's a great verse. Look at James. James chapter 1. It always reminds me of this. James chapter 1, and pick it up here in verse 2, or 22. James chapter 1, pick it up here in verse 22. James says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." Verse 25. "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." I'm going to say it again. We turn Bible study into Bible living. So ask questions. Ask questions of yourself while you are reading and discussing with other people. Once again, do not be merely content as a Bible reader. Make it to be your goal to be a learner and eventually a doer. Earlier I said, here's 1 John chapter 4. After, and I mark these actually with red, and I do little hearts around them. I know maybe that's kind of weird for a guy, but I do it. I take love, red, little hearts. This entire context right here is saying Jesus did everything he could. Christ did everything that he could to make sure that we have a chance to get to paradise. All the love, the sacrifice, the heartache, and the cross, he did everything he can because he loved y'all so much. So John's point is, this type of love is the same type of love that we need for each other as Christians of the cross. So he makes sure we understand what love is and what love means. Back to Revelation chapter 4. There's going to be a time where we are in paradise. When we get to heaven, when we get to paradise, the focus is the throne. Even now, the focus should be outward, right? I was telling folks, as soon as you get immersed, as soon as you get baptized for remission of sins, it now becomes about everybody else, period. That's it. That's the life of a Christian. But that's going to be enhanced when we get to heaven, when we get to be in the throne room with the King. That's it. I have given you the essentials and even a few specific tools that may help. Some of you may say, I can kind of buy into some of those things. Someone says, I have my own system. Whatever you say, don't say no to Bible reading. Because for some of us, all of us, our soul depends on knowing and understanding this. All right, tonight, maybe you missed that. Maybe you've been that person saying, I've been doing just that. I've been diving into the book of Acts, and it's clear baptism is everything. And I'm ready for that stuff. Whatever.